radio station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. There were protests nationwide against Elon Musk's presence in the Trump administration, and some lawmakers are now pressuring the billionaire.
Democrats calling on Elon Musk to testify before Congress, demanding to know what he's really up to, now with access to millions of federal workers' personal information. The hearing quickly descending into chaos.
I think it's outrageous that this committee will not even entertain a motion.
No, you state your
chairman, that's not a point of order.
The next target for Musk, the CIA.
ABC's Rachel Scott. Certain CIA staffers now being offered buyouts. A federal judge in Maryland struck down the president's executive order ending birthright citizenship in the United States. That's now two judges who struck it down. A sixth person has died in the wake of the massive illegal fireworks explosion in Honolulu over New Year's. So far, 10 people have been arrested in the episode. This is ABC News. Federal public health officials at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report that disparities continue between black women and white women who are pregnant.
The CDC says in 2023, black women in the U.S. died at a rate nearly 3.5 times higher than white women at the time of childbirth. That's higher than the maternal death rate in 2021 and 22, leading March of Dimes Interim Medical Director Dr. Amanda Williams to conclude that the pandemic affected women of all races. But once we went back to regular activities, the impact of systemic racism and unequal access to maternal health care went back into place. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
From the Where Are They Now file, Daniel Penny, the one-time Marine who was acquitted of choking Jordan Neely to death on a New York City subway train, has been hired as what's called a deal partner at Silicon Valley venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz. Co-founder and general partner Mark Andreessen is close to President Trump. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you've never stayed overnight on a dairy farm, would you consider it? The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association hopes you will and is working to position the state as the nation's agricultural tourism destination.
How can we grow agricultural tourism in the state of Wisconsin? Because all of our neighbors are embracing this and they're supporting agricultural tourism because they know it's an economic engine and it makes a huge impact for every taxpayer in our state.
Sheila Everhart is with the association and says from gathering eggs to corn mazes, ag tourism is on the rise. And overnight farm visits kick off as part of the NFL draft in Green Bay. Want to learn more, volunteer, or try your own ag trip? Go to WIAgTourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks make a deal. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. Milwaukee is sending Chris Middleton to Washington. The Bucks are trading Middleton and A.J. Johnson to the Wizards in exchange for Kyle Kuzma and Wisconsin native Patrick Baldwin Jr., as well as a second-round draft pick. A pick swap was also included in the deal. Middleton, a three-time All-Star, helped the Bucks win the 2021 NBA title. He signed a three-year, $93 million contract before last season. The NBA trade deadline is tomorrow afternoon. The Bucks take on the Charlotte Hornets tonight with a tip time of 6 p.m. The WIAA has approved a change to its high school football playoff qualification process. The Board of Control voted this morning to create a wins-based metric for teams to get into the postseason. The new setup will also seed teams in the playoffs, eliminating the need for computer algorithms or coaches voting. In addition, the WIAA also expanded the 8-player football playoff field to 32 teams and moved the start of the season up 1 week to match the start of 11-player football. With Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cusca.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks. It's actually more like a half pick, as I sort of enjoyed the film Amelia Perez. The musical crime drama, yes, you heard that right, has 13 Oscar nominations, including for Best Picture. The story is about a ruthless drug cartel boss who hires a lawyer, played by Zoe Saldana, to help him through the gender transitioning process and to help him disappear afterwards. The logline really grabbed me, but I thought it started slow and didn't like the look of it. It did pick up steam and provided some gripping, intense moments. Ultimately, it's a little unsatisfying, in my opinion, and I tend to agree with the reviews it received on Rotten Tomatoes. The film got a 73% fresh rating from critics, which is good, but a little lower than you'd expect for a film nominated for 13 Oscars. Only 18% of audiences like the film. Having said that, it still might be worth a watch, as you don't see many musical crime thrillers where cartel bosses have sex change operations. The film is free to view on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with patchy areas of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Lows drop to the mid-20s. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning, then maybe some sunshine for the afternoon and turning breezy. Highs 30 to 35. Currently it's 26.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me this week as we talk to my friend and national figure Adam Kinzinger in what will be certain to be an incredible conversation.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut a deal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Jagai. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
One protest going on all 50 states. At the Capitol tomorrow, Wednesday, February 5th, and we've had some concerned listeners reach out, and we really appreciate that. The event is listed on the Minnesota Capitol Events website as 50 protests in 50 states one day on the upper and lower mall at the Capitol grounds in St. Paul. So I would suggest checking out your local state government websites and check the events page for info. That's one of the things that was really cool, that we had a lot of people reach out to us because they were not sure what groups were doing this march. And we really like doing marches and things like that. Haley, can you hear me now? Looks like she can.
I can. I just got my audio back. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
I don't know those Apple computers. We just have to like put some tobacco around them in a good way. She said no. This Wednesday, the 5th at 12 p.m., reject fascism, defend equity, 50 protests in 50 states on day February 5th at each state capitol, protesting for no concentration camps, no illegal ICE raids and deportation, no to transphobia, homophobia, sexism, and all those things. It's going to be a cold day, and it's going to be a cold day tomorrow. So dressing for the weather, and here might be some snow too. Dress for the weather and wear something comfortable. And I heard too, people were wearing blue, and I read that somewhere too. I think from the New York Times. Keep it peaceful and nonviolent. Stick together and go with a group or a friend, and let people close to you know where you're going and when you plan to return. Those are really, really good suggestions. And then prepare to be identified, except the media to be there. If you prefer, you can wear nondescriptive clothing free of logos and memorable prints. feel free to cover any tattoos and cover your hair if you'd like to help prevent the spread of germs in large crowds. Wear a mask if you are comfortable. So again, I will be going there tomorrow at the state capitol, and we'll be checking that out. And, you know, also two events going on this week. A friendly reminder, come see us at booth 1012 at the Minneapolis Convention Center, February 8th from 9 to 4. For the Minneapolis Community Connections Conference, both Saturday and Sunday, and a Young's Center is going to have their 26th annual Cherish Children's Powwow at Johnson Senior High. We'll be there, going there after we'll be at the Minneapolis Convention Center, and then Sunday, February 9th in St. Paul, the annual Native Lovers Craft Affair Market from noon to 4 at Eagle and Condor Native Wellness Center on the east side of St. Paul, 790 7th Street. Get those beautiful gifts for your Valentine's and your sweetheart. So that's one of the few things that are happening. And I just wanted people to know that. And today we're going to have a couple guests on here. We're going to have, of course, Ruth Anna Buffalo, President and CEO of Minnesota Women's Indian Resource Center in Minneapolis. And also we're going to be talking a few things. We're also going to have a Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Planner Community for the Minnesota Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office and artist Rory Wakemup. And we're going to be talking about February 14th, which is going to be another march and another thing going on. And we'll be excited to do that. And that'll be a great show. And Haley, can you hear me?
Hi, Robert. Can you hear me yet?
Yes, I can still hear you.
Oh, you can hear me.
Yeah, I could hear you before, too.
Okay, I could not hear you, but I can hear you now. It was a little spotty. Sorry about that. That must have been...
Well, I'm glad you couldn't hear me, because the show was terrible until you got back on here. I was mumbling to myself.
No, you did good. And... Thank you guys for listening to Robert while I was gone. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. I was just talking about some great things that are happening this weekend. I just want to back up to one of the things I was talking about. That we did some research on the 50-51 protest, and you have in the notes here that there is, you have to, if you're going to have a protest, you're going to have to get people to, the police to okay it, and the Capitol okay, and it looks like here in Minnesota, that's all okayed.
Yeah, so I was looking into this a little bit this morning after we had some listeners be a little bit concerned, which, you know, every right to be. When we're talking about any rallies or protests, this 50-51 protest that's going on at all the capitals tomorrow on the 5th, I did look it up at the Minnesota State Capitol here in St. Paul. It's on their website under events page. And that really is all it said. It gave the name of the rally and the protest. It said where it was going to be, which is the upper lower mall at the Capitol grounds, I'm assuming outside. So definitely dress warm. Any tips, these tips that, I'm about to mention are just kind of good practice for any protests or rallies. So that goes for like dressing for the weather, and like, especially here in Minnesota, any type of protest in the winter, you want to dress in a way that's comfortable and protects you against the cold. Also always recommending keeping it peaceful and nonviolent. That's one thing that is always pushed, nonviolent protests. Stick together, go with a group or friend. Let people close to you know where you're going. Give them the location. Let them know when you plan on returning. Also be prepared to be identified. Expect the other media to be there. If you prefer, you can wear nondescriptive clothing, free of logos and memorable prints. Also feel free to cover any tattoos and cover your hair if you'd like. And also to prevent the spread of germs in large crowds, wear a mask if you're comfortable.
Haley, you read that better than I did.
Thank you. I wrote it too.
Yeah. Well, I read it too, but it's good to go over that again, because Seriously, there's been people shooting us emails, and we're going, wow, people listen to this show. This is crazy.
Yeah, well, and that's good because you, yeah, it's good because, you know, you don't want to spread misinformation. You also don't want to put stuff out there that's going to make people unsafe or feel unsafe. So always, you know, as you're comfortable, attend those rallies and protests, always if you're comfortable.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'll tell you, for me personally, Haley, I'm excited to get on that road again of getting my American Indian Movement jean jacket on and getting out there and protesting again. That's what we do, and that's how we started this show.
Hey, time to get back out there. Boots on the ground. Fight for what you believe in.
Exactly. I'm fighting back, and we're resisting, and heck, we're the resist experts. So again, hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with Ruth Anna Buffalo and some more great guests. This is Native Roots Radio.
A home that needs new everything, plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Thinking about college? Consider checking out Minnesota Private Colleges. These 18 nonprofit institutions keep the focus on students with small classes and professors who will get to know you. You'll find students from all backgrounds, and no two colleges are alike. And when it comes to cost, they're more affordable than you think. Find the college that's right for you at mnprivatecolleges.org/possible. That's mnprivatecolleges.org/possible.
Registration is open for the Community Connections Conference on February 8th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. It's a free, fun way to get involved in local decision-making. Join the city of Minneapolis for workshops, resources, music and dance, good food, a scavenger hunt, jobs, internships, and a conversation on community health. RSVP at minneapolismn.gov/CCC. That's minneapolismn.gov/CCC. Registration.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we are here with our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, President and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And, you know, good to see you as always. And it looks like you're having a little lunch. No, I'm just kidding. Good to see you, Ruth. Thanks for coming on.
Matsugadads, thank you for having me.
Hey, what's going on with Minnesota Indian Resource Center? I know you guys host monthly family nights, and there's things always happening, and it's great to have you on. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we have monthly support groups, and we're starting to have monthly family nights. The first one that we held or hosted was this past Friday, January 31st, and so we had a really good turnout. It was good just to be in community and see people dancing. Didn't have to be in regalia to get out there, so it was just good to be in the company of others. And then we have monthly support groups. The caregivers support group met yesterday, and then we now have the Native Women Survivors support group, and then other educational opportunities as well. So yeah, we're moving full steam ahead, and Looking forward to a lot of good things coming to MIWRC as well.
Yeah, it's excellent. And again, we talk a lot about this, but you can't help to talk about it. But we have cold weather happening again, and really cold. And geez, there was a cat outside my door this morning, and it was a one above.
Yeah, we are working in partnership with community boots on the ground. Hennepin County and the city of Minneapolis are providing support monetarily for us to continue opening our doors at MIWRC for emergency warming center space. So we're, you know, this is our fourth time or our fourth week opening our doors. So we're learning a lot as we go. And we're just so thankful for everybody's continued support to make things happen so that our relatives have a good, safe and warm place to go and to also get connected to resources.
Yeah, a safe place to go in many different ways. And we appreciate you guys at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. I want to say this, too, before I forget, is how can people know more about your organization and again, how to donate to this 40-year-old organization that's helping our community here in Minneapolis, but all over Turtle Island in a good way, Ruth Anna?
Sure. By going to our website, there's a donate tab, but otherwise it's miwrc.org/donate. So that's the main area to go to. We also have a account through Give Minnesota, and I see a lot of people still continue to give through that site as well. So for sure, either our site on Give Minnesota, our page on Give Minnesota, or it's Give MN, our website, miwrc.org/donate. But as soon as you click on miwrc.org, you'll see a big donate tab kind of center of the screen encouraging you to donate.
Right on. Hey, how many people work at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? I don't know if I ever asked you that, but I know I've been there a few times on, and there looks like there's quite a few, but there's also quite a few things going on that maybe people couldn't show up to celebrations that were working.
Yeah, for sure. There's 23 of us right now, and we're looking to expand. We have a few job postings on the website, you know, development officer. We also have a kinship care worker being advertised, but definitely looking to expand and continue supporting the community in the best way we can. The project, I guess you could, well, it could call it a project, but it's really just community-based, community-led with the Emergency Warming Center. We are hiring volunteers, and so the volunteers that you know, stepped up and stepped in the three different weeks in January. We're also looking to provide compensation, and then also this week as well, so that the money stays within the community. We're also partnering with different Native orgs like AICDC for a CPI training. We're hosting those trainings every Saturday from 9 to 5 for the volunteers who step forward to assist with the Emergency Warming Center. So we just finished the first training last Saturday, but for the month of February, every Saturday, 9 to 5, we will be providing more training for the volunteers and helpers for the Emergency Warming Space or Center at MIWRC in partnership with a lot of different community groups. So definitely want to stress the importance of community-led efforts.
So with the job openings, that's on your website too. And what does a kinship worker do? That sounds pretty cool.
They provide a lot of support to our grandparents who are raising grandchildren. And so they also work closely with like the ICWA liaison who works in the courts and advocates in the courts, just providing support, whether it's providing a ride or helping, you know, get connected to resources. But it's very broad and very, very much needed. And I got to kind of sit in on a little of the caregiver support group yesterday because of where we're situated, you know, kind of temporarily I'm in the Healing Journey conference room, and so I'm in that corner there, and I can kind of hear some of the doings and things. But yeah, it's a good, just a good time. Like those support groups are really just a good time for people to come together, share a meal, and just laugh and joke. And then they played bingo, you know, and same thing with the warming center. Yeah, same thing with the warming center. You know, some of the suggestions over the weeks in January were, you know, from the unsheltered relatives, or, you know, just the relatives, was like, we should do, you know, make medicine bags, or, you know, do some crafting and things. So it's a nice time, especially during the winter, to just come together and share a meal, break bread, so to speak, but just to like visit is really nice. And that's also, you know, the premise of like our family night last Friday, is just come get together, go out, enjoy some good music. You know, you don't have to be in regalia to get out there and dance. So yeah, it was just a good time.
Let me know when the sacred cakewalk happens again. Get over there.
I know people are jokingly saying, you know, they're coming for our title that we're holding right now for the parade. And so, yeah, maybe it'll be an annual cakewalk for sure.
That's awesome.
No pun intended.
Yeah, I know your title. Geez, I know Native Roots Radio should get a float going here, Haley.
Oh, yeah. Like a stereo or something we could do.
Yeah.
Exactly. Big microphone.
Yeah. Hey, definitely. Well, you know, when you were explaining what a kinship worker does, I hope people were listening, because that is unbelievable work in the community. That's a great example of what's happening at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center in Minneapolis. That's an amazing job title, but job description, my goodness.
For sure. I think everything really, you know, at MIWRC is underlying is healing, you know, that healing component without really saying it, you know. But yeah, there definitely, we have some amazing helpers and healers, you know, in the community. And I'm just, you know, happy to be a part to assist, you know, but definitely has that healing theme in the background for sure. Always.
Well, I know too, for my experience, my life experience too, is to be in a group and talk it out. That's makes things more, you know, sizable, I guess. And it's not the worst thing, and it's not the greatest thing. The minimize and maximize, just to get those words out to fellow people that might be going through the same things. That's big medicine.
It is. It's huge. I think of like the individuals, families, and communities that are in recovery, and that's one of the groups that's been volunteering too, is the Recovery Warriors, I believe that they're called. But I think of like my first cousins, my cousin brothers and sisters, you know, back home, who are all in recovery, and just how when you spend time with them, they're just like really just seem like a bunch of angels, or just like really lighthearted, happy people. Like just, I don't know how to explain it, but almost like brand new in a sense. But, so yeah, it's just good to be around others that have overcome so much and are willing to continue to give back to the community and help others, you know, in the process. It's a huge blessing to be a part of the work and to see things, from behind the scenes, you know. So,
well, and like you said earlier too, with the group talk, the medicine of humor is so native, and it's also so much in recovery too, that gone through heck and now we've walked out of it and we can laugh about things.
Yes, for sure. 100%.
Well, again, Ruth, I really appreciate you stopping in. Give us a quick Facebook and email to support you guys again, please.
Sure. Go to www.miwrc.org for all of the connections to socials there. But don't forget to donate. We appreciate your continued support. Mads, thank you.
Great to see you. Up next, well, we got 30 seconds. Thanks again, Ruth.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. There were protests nationwide against Elon Musk's presence in the Trump administration, and some lawmakers are now pressuring the billionaire.
Democrats calling on Elon Musk to testify before Congress, demanding to know what he's really up to, now with access to millions of federal workers' personal information. The hearing quickly descending into chaos.
I think it's outrageous that this committee will not even entertain a motion.
No, you state your
chairman, that's not a point of order.
The next target for Musk, the CIA.
ABC's Rachel Scott. Certain CIA staffers now being offered buyouts. A federal judge in Maryland struck down the president's executive order ending birthright citizenship in the United States. That's now two judges who struck it down. A sixth person has died in the wake of the massive illegal fireworks explosion in Honolulu over New Year's. So far, 10 people have been arrested in the episode. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks make a deal. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. Milwaukee is sending Chris Middleton to Washington. The Bucks are trading Middleton and A.J. Johnson to the Wizards in exchange for Kyle Kuzma and Wisconsin native Patrick Baldwin Jr., as well as a second-round draft pick. A pick swap was also included in the deal. Middleton, a three-time All-Star, helped the Bucks win the 2021 NBA title. He signed a three-year, $93 million contract before last season. The NBA trade deadline is tomorrow afternoon. The Bucks take on the Charlotte Hornets tonight with a tip time of 6 p.m. The WIAA has approved a change to its high school football playoff qualification process. The Board of Control voted this morning to create a wins-based metric for teams to get into the postseason. The new setup will also seed teams in the playoffs, eliminating the need for computer algorithms or coaches voting. In addition, the WIAA also expanded the eight-player football playoff field to 32 teams and moved the start of the season up 1 week to match the start of 11-player football. With Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cusca.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A new reboot is on the way, which is not a surprise, as Hollywood seems determined to remake everything it's ever done. This time, it's a new iteration of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Star of the original, Sarah Michelle Gellar, will be part of the cast, but not the central focus. This is the second attempt at a reboot. One in 2018 did not quite make it to the little screen. When and if the show drops, it will premiere on Hulu. During a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, actress Nicole Kidman told the host about her favorite keepsake, the handwritten lyrics to Elton John's famous song, Your Song. Kidman was one of the stars of Moulin Rouge, in which the song was featured and sang by Ewan McGregor. Your Song has been covered many times over the years. Great tune. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with patchy areas of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Lows drop to the mid-20s. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning, then maybe some sunshine for the afternoon and turning breezy. Highs 30 to 35. Currently, it's 26.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet,
yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Brandi Grayson, the host of the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. I am the hostess with the mostest with the local politics and the local tea. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with a couple high-powered guests, Anna Negret, Interim Director for the Minnesota Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office here in Minnesota, and our friend Rory Wakemup, artist and all-around groovy guy. Hey, Rory. Hi, Anna. Good to see you guys again.
Hi.
Hey, all excited here. Hey, can you talk a little bit? We're going to be talking about February 14th in Minneapolis and the march that we do. I don't know how many we've done, but they're always very powerful. And I know your group, and I know Rory's been involved for many, many years. And let's talk about what's going to happen that day and maybe kick it off a little bit and talk about the statistics of our MMIR in our Native communities first, Anna.
Yeah, good evening. I believe it's, Rory, I think it's the 10th year, right? Indigenous Lives Matter kicked it off back 10 years ago, and their founders moved up to Duluth area, but so we've been doing the march here for, Rory, I want to say 10 years. I think you've been pretty involved from the jump, right?
9 or 10, yeah. I think we would have to do an archival dig. But yeah, we'll have to have a decade celebration here for sure. Next year, we'll plan for, it'll be 10 years for sure next year. How about that?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Anna, some of the statistics here, that our community deals with, I don't know if a lot of our, allies that listen to the show are really, clued in on that. I wonder if you could really pop out some statistics about our relatives.
Yeah, you know, the office will hit its 3-year anniversary here on the, I want to say the 28th of February, that we've been an office as a state, but around the nation, you know, we've always known that our relatives go missing or murdered at a disproportionate rate in Minnesota. Indigenous women, Indigenous relatives make up 1.4% of the general population, but Indigenous women alone are 0.8% and make up 8% of the homicide rate. So we're seeing, you know, we're seeing our relatives go be murdered, and you know, the state has recognized through the leadership of, you know, folks that, like you just had on, Ruth Buffalo and Senator Kunish, who I know is a regular, they really pushed to make sure that things, that we started to respond to this in a good way. Our missing relatives, we have, I think the last official stat that we had was, you know, in any given day, between 27 and 54 relatives are missing in Minnesota every day. And so we're seeing that, we're hearing now that we're an official office, we hear more and more these stories of families who just don't have answers. And so we're pushing for that. And so this walk is, this march is really important to kind of, come together as a community and really support the families, letting them know they're not alone, because that's the sense, is that we feel like, our families have felt like they've been doing this alone, and we're not talking about it enough. And so we're here trying to change that. Rory, I know that you have been like instrumental and make these beautiful things. You can see in the background some of the things that Rory has done to really bring awareness to the issue. So I'm going to hand it to him to talk about that aspect as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going to say, Rory, art is so important in our community, and you've been doing this for a long time. And talk a little bit, like Anna said, about your role and how art really plays a big part of this.
Well, for me, I'm a visual learner, so visuals help me really break the ice, or our community in general, break the ice into the broader community. And I think, you know, because when you think of the statistics of us, you know, being murdered at a 1% or 8%, 0.8% or 8% of homicide, and you think about like the historical genocide of us that's reduced us and forced assimilation and the pseudoscience of genocide and enrollment, we're only 1% to 2%, maybe 2% of the whole population as it is. So that percentage is, there's puts it, like, if you put it into perspective, that's, I think, 20 to 50% chance one of these things is going to happen to us, you know. So it's a 30% chance a Native woman's going right. to get raped, you know. So everything, so when you put it in the perspective of, you know, like, that's that way, it's like, it's almost a guarantee we're going to, and it's because we're dehumanized by pop culture, art, and media, you know. So art is also at the tail end, combats that. So we can own our own messaging and humanize ourselves. But in the micro, the first march, I didn't even know was happening until the day of. I saw women marching and just started marching with them. And then, but then we just slowly started planning. You know, it starts with messaging first of the folks that work with this every day. And then with that messaging, that, you know, they basically wanted to celebrate the lives of the relatives, and not the victimhood, or the tail end, you know, giving that abuse the power, but giving, rather than that, giving our lives the power. So it's, the art is too also meant to celebrate the lives of the people, and then also bringing families together that, because really, of 7 degrees of separation, literally everyone's got this and has this experience in their family. There's not a Native person not affected by this. I mean, you'd be really hard pressed to find someone that isn't related, that has a relative that isn't missing, one, and then everyone's related to a woman or child or a person as a child that's been molested or raped, you know. So it's, you know, that's, yeah. Anyway, we get into the histories, you know, that they don't teach in school, and that's now our legal, you know. I think they're trying to make it illegal to teach in college now as well, or just to know it might be imprisonable. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I digress. No, but then, so the art workshops themselves, I kind of modeled it off of my uncle Earl up in White Earth would just teach us how to make like birch bark baskets and quill work and bead work in the basement and in the family. And then, you know, we'd pilgrimage to ceremonies in South Dakota. And I realized there's a parallel there to folks working together for art objects or regalia for a common cause, you know. And then in that, you build that camaraderie and conversation that strengthens family or strengthens that ceremony and then strengthens each other, like pretty much art therapy, you know. So and I saw that with IP3 out at Standing Rock, how it worked en masse, you know. So I kind of made my own little, I got training from IP3 and you know, also have a master's degree in arts and whatnot and Native history. But then kind of congealed all that together and I just bring ideas to other organizations. And really, it's been an honor to bring ideas to these women that they, sometimes they take it, sometimes they're a bit much, or, you know, I tell folks, I try to land on Mars, but if we make it to the moon, it's still cool, you know, like I always go for way too much, but we always end up doing something cool.
Yeah.
But then, well, yeah, it's art therapy for the families too. Sorry. So they get to come in and be heard and listened to. And in the workshops, I found other people of color. It's really, it's a real common thing across the POC community, you know? So it's definitely art therapy, not only for our community, but for other communities too. Maybe get enveloped or wrap in or a connection point to share common grief and heal together.
Yeah, I know on the 12th, you'll be overseeing and helping people come in and do some screen printing. Let's talk a little bit about that. That's from 10 to 7, so that's a long day for you and people coming in. Talk about some of the parameters, what you need from people to come in to do this work. And I know we give out shirts and everything, and you're a big part of that. But let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. At my workshops, I don't give out shirts. What it is, you bring your own fabric and we'll screen print for free. And I tell orgs, if you bring more than like five things, you know, you have to leave some employees, like you can't drop off like 50 shirts and expect to pick them up later. You know, you got to leave some employees. So it's very volunteer based and community based. And we do work hard. Don't get me wrong, but we do have orgs that set up ahead of time that I'm real per se, like we have leftovers from last year, but generally speaking, it's sometimes like, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, Native American Community Clinic. They definitely bring a lion's share of shirts to give away. That'll be like 500 to 1,000 items we'll try to print that will be given away the next day. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, if you bring your own fabric, we'll screen print for free, but that's one or two items. But as a community member, I've seen families, we've just showed them how to pull screens and they get into it. And then, you know, they'll go home and get their laundry basket and bring back all the cotton that'll fit under a screen, you know? And then some folks won't do anything. They'll just sit there and eat and talk and share. And that's great too. You know, it's really whatever capacity you can be there. It's just lovely to have community there. And, you know, we used to make posters. This year, we're not so, it's just every year depends on budget and time and all that, mm-hmm. you know, and what. We'll have at least 8 screens pulling at a time. Volunteers are lining up. They do have to dry overnight. Oh, 1 minute till break. I'm hoarding space. but yeah, volunteers welcome and bring all the cotton fabric. Cotton works best.
Well, Anna, you got scarves you gave out last year, this year too, right?
Yeah, we'll have some blank red bandanas that could be printed, and yeah, we'll have more of the scarves from last year. We really want to encourage people to come out to the screen printing, to the march. We want to lend support to families and really let them know that they're not alone in this. We talk about what it means to be a good relative in the community. And I want to really bring that home this year. How would you search for your relative if they were missing? These are our nieces. These are our nephews. Like, they're our family. When we talk about Hunka families or adopting each other, like, these are people. These are relatives that are missing. This isn't somebody else's daughter. These are our kids. These are our brothers, sisters, grandmas, grandpas. So just bringing that home.
Right on. We'll be talking about that more in the next segment, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back.
Registration is open for the Community Connections Conference on February 8th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. It's a free, fun way to get involved in local decision-making. Join the city of Minneapolis for workshops, resources, music and dance, good food, a scavenger hunt, jobs, internships, and a conversation on community health. RSVP at minneapolismn.gov/CCC. That's minneapolismn.gov/CCC.
Thinking about college? Consider checking out Minnesota Private Colleges. These 18 nonprofit institutions keep the focus on students with small classes and professors who will get to know you. You'll find students from all backgrounds, and no two colleges are alike. And when it comes to cost, they're more affordable than you think. Find the college that's right for you at mnprivatecolleges.org/possible. That's mnprivatecolleges.org/possible.
Native history in Minnesota is diverse and rich. Indigenous people have dwelled here for thousands of years and continue to live here today. Our home, Native Minnesota, at the Minnesota Historical Society, shares the history and contemporary stories of the region's Native peoples. Now on display, the mask designed by Miwokan Dakota artist Cole Redhorse Taylor and worn by Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. Visit the Minnesota History Center to hear stories of resilience, adaptation, and survival.
Do you have a vehicle you no longer need? Are you a little cash-strapped? Rudy Luther Toyota will pay you for your used vehicle. It's really simple. Head to RudyLutherToyota.com, answer a few simple questions, and Rudy Luther Toyota will get you an instant offer. Then they will set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they will handle all the paperwork and coordinate getting you your check. It's that simple. It's a fast way for you to get rid of the vehicle you no longer need, putting money in your hands. For more information, head to RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Hey, we are talking about what's coming up this week. And Anna, I want to get back to you. We're with Anna and Rory, and I want to get back to you about what you were saying at the end there. Let's talk a little bit about what's going to be a little different this year and the little different focus that you were just talking about before we went to break.
Yeah. Last year we really tried to be intentional about making sure that we say the names. We always say that, right? Say their names. And so we want to really acknowledge relatives. We're starting to try and get a more comprehensive list. As you all know, data is like one of the shortcomings that we don't have enough of to really give represent a total look at everybody who has been impacted. And so we're trying to do better at that, but also really just calling on community to, like, our bandanas are sweet, our scarves are sweet, and our license plates, we're super happy to have that, but also just like really asking community, like, claim our relatives. This isn't somebody else's child who's missing. These are your nieces, your nephews, your brothers and sisters, your grandmas. And so just really trying to build that sense of community. Rory does that with bringing folks together through art and doing that, but really wanting to send, you know, messages to families and not just saying the words, really building up, like, they're not alone in this. And that's really something I want to push this year and do better as a state, is building that sense of community and letting families know they're not alone, because we hear too many of those stories of moms, of families, you know, having been responsible for searches after the, you know, little bit of buzz. If there's any media coverage on it at all, that goes away and families are left without answers. And so wanting to build up their support systems and show them what we as Indigenous people can do, not divided by tribes. We're Indigenous relatives, whether you're from North America, South America, Red Lake, Leech Lake, you know, the Dakota tribes, you know, we're relatives, and we have to be that. We've had enough impact of divide and conquer. So it's time to do better.
I agree 100%. And Rory, you were saying earlier, one out of three, and out of the 78,000 relatives that live in the Twin Cities, that's a big number.
For us as Native people, yeah, that's huge. But I get, for the whole population of Minnesota, you know, it just kind of gets drowned out. No. Right. Pun intended there, I guess, for that analogy. I kind of lost. I was going to add on to what Anna was saying, but yeah, over the years we have, you know, we're at roughly 10,000 items, not including those red dresses we did during COVID because we couldn't assemble. What she sparked my memory of a performance that everyone should check out that Rebecca Belmore did about 30 years ago, where she called out the names of the missing and murdered as an art piece in a video. And that's when video art and everything was it was not art back then. You know what I'm saying? It was movie or kitsch. It wasn't fine art yet or whatever. I don't know. it was whatever. But anyway, that was that. That's the art context. But I thought it was just such a strong piece 30 years ago. And that really influenced what I wanted to do, that messaging for art literally. You know, so I think it's like full circle that art can do that now. And I think, you know, maybe we need to start putting, you know, stenciling names out on the streets with like these little red dress stencil cutouts and paint names in them and let's get the names out there. You know, these aren't just statistics that can just get drowned out. You know, we're people and families that are still grieving and will continue to. And not only that, I don't want to get into the boarding school stuff, but you know, that's, you know, my grandmother wouldn't teach us the language because she was afraid we'd get treated like she did for knowing it. And I mean, given this climate we're in now, I mean, how far off of right was she? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I digress. But yeah, we got to, I want to, anyone, it's all about money, right? I have kids, I have bills to pay, and, you know, I'm sick now, and we got to still find ways to, I want to cover the streets with art and paint, you know, paint the streets red, names included. Yeah. Sorry. Little tangential art brain there. Sorry.
That's a big deal. I went to, what's his name? The guy that does all the stuff in New York City, went to his museum where they do all the art, the graffiti, and bring out the public message. So I'm all for that. Anna, we digressed a little bit with the numbers. I was off on the numbers a little bit, but I've always been told 1 out of 3 of our relatives, our lady relatives, will be abused in one way or another. And what I was getting at 78,000 people in the Twin Cities, half of them are women. That's a big number.
Yeah. Actually, it depends on the type of violence, whether it's sexual violence or physical violence. Those numbers are, you know, 8 out of 10. And so they're even higher than as we start to do deeper dives into the data and what we're seeing as national trends. And that's just, How can that be? But, you know, part of the MMIW task force report identified the root causes of MMIR as being, you know, when did we start going missing and become murdered at colonization? Yeah. And then that continued with the attempted genocide of our people through, you know, what Rory mentioned, not just boarding schools, but all the historical trauma on top of sexual objectification of Indigenous people and racism and sexism. There's so many, so many of those root causes that just that have impacted our community for so long. And so we're trying to raise awareness around it and address that. And within our office, we do a lot of training on different aspects within the general community, within law enforcement, victim service providers, court services, the child welfare system. And so we're doing that, but it's a drop in the bucket. We have a lot of work to do. So we're trying and showing up as the first step. So that's one of the reasons we're doing this walk, this march, is to show up, to be there.
Absolutely. And then if we can, we got about a minute left. Anna, can you just say where the, on the 12th, where that will be held, and also I believe it's going to be starting and ending at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, the march.
Yep. So the screen print event is at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. I saw Ruth on earlier, so hosted in her location. And then the march, like you mentioned, will be February 14th at the New American Indian Center, where we're happy to have this beautiful center be the host. And we've squished into East Phillips Community Center for some years. And
this is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
I'm Brandi Grayson, the host of the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. I am the hostess with the mostest with the local politics and the local tea. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Declaring the war on women's sports is over, President Trump issued an order barring trans women from women's sports.
President Trump before the cameras and a cheering crowd in the East Room, signing an executive order banning transgender women and girls from competing in women's sports. The head of the NCAA said, of the approximately 510,000 college athletes in this country, fewer than 10 are known to be transgender. And tonight, advocacy groups fear this move will only lead to more discrimination and harassment.
ABC's Rachel Scott. Legal rulings starting to stack up against Trump's bid to end birthright citizenship. A second federal judge, this one in Maryland, issued a preliminary injunction against the order. Earlier, a federal judge in Washington State blocked it. He beat and suffocated to death a pastor in his own Arlington, Texas church in 2011. Stephen LaWayne Nelson got a lethal injection in Texas on Wednesday. This is ABC News.